I'm going to learn from Yohandre. My name's Roland, and this is my wife, Patty. And all my children are married and out the house. So the last time I was here, I was speaking about these wells that we needed to dig in our life and in the life of the community. Because a well is a life source in the community. And so I didn't get the chance to finish, so I'm going to finish that today. And so the two things I'm going to look at, but I'm going to do a quick recap. I'm going to do all of them and then finish off with raising up and releasing. So do you remember I spoke about spinning plates, that we've got to keep all these things going at the same time? So Patty said to me, do you know what? She said, ladies are much better at spinning plates than men. I said, what are you talking about? She says, listen, yeah, I can cook a meal. I put the chicken on and do the roast potatoes over here and do the mixed vegetables and cut the salad up over here. And if I try and do that, I just burn everything. So I'm not really good spinning the plates, but Patty, she can spin those plates. Thank goodness. I enjoy my food and she makes good food. None of it burnt most of the time. Do you burn sometimes, babe? Okay, so the scripture we're going to start with, we're going to just go back to the beginning, is Acts 3 and verse 19. And you remember they all started with the R. Now repent, R, of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. Be wiped out, we can put in its place, removed. Your sins may be removed. The times of refreshment, another R, will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. For he must remain, R, in heaven until the time for the final restoration of all things, as God promised long ago through his holy prophets. And then the part that I'm going to be looking at today, Acts 3, verse 26, it says, when God raised up his servant Jesus, he sent him, released, first to you people of Israel, to bless you by turning each of you back from your sinful ways. So who remembers what we said about the repenting church, the church that comes to a place of repentance? And so for us to be able to live as a repenting church, we first have to live in that ourselves. We can't tell people, you need to repent if we haven't repented ourselves. I don't know about you. Can you do that? Repentance is a radical transformation. So you know what that means? It means you can't go back there in a hurry of thought, the way you think, your attitude to life, your outlook, and your direction. Repentance is actually the beginning of your walk with God. If you haven't repented and been baptized, you are not born again. You are not somebody that's walking in the kingdom of God. So 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 says, for the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. I want to just advise you guys, it's not like a rule, but Yohandre has convinced me to start reading the NLT. And I really think it's a good translation. If you look at that up there, it says exactly what repentance is. It says, there's no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow. What's worldly sorrow? When somebody, you know what happens? Is when somebody catches you doing something wrong. That's worldly sorrow. Oh! Children normally do that when mom and dad catch them. Oh, what have I done wrong? We caught you. That's worldly sorrow. Luke 3 and verse 8 says, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. I think that is so well put down there. Prove by the way that you live. So if you're living a life that doesn't reflect Jesus, you haven't repented, because repentance means your life will show how you live. I remember when I first got saved. You know what? You actually get saved a couple of times before you're actually saved. Because you're saved, and then you get caught doing something, then you get saved again, and then you repent and you get caught again. And slowly your life gets to the place where, hey, I can actually live without doing something wrong every single day, only every second day now. But it gets less and less. I was on a men's team where, if, you know what, we're so humble, all of us. We're humble. You know, I sin every day. Everybody says, I sin every day because they're scared. People say, I saw you sin. No, I sin every day. And the guy said, you know what, if you aren't sinning less and less, there's a problem. So guys, the longer you walk with Jesus, the less sin there needs to be in your life. The less times you need to find yourself repenting. One of the things here where Jesus is actually speaking to them, he says, don't just say to each other, we are safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. For I tell you, God created children of Abraham from these very stones. Haven't you come? I've come across people, been in ministry 30 years, proud of the fact. Excited that I'm still in ministry for another 30, no. But people say to you, I was born into a Christian family. Hey? The thing about Abraham, I was born into being a Christian family. Guys, you can't be born into a Christian family physically. Spiritually, you have to be born again to be in a spiritual family. Okay, we need to, number two, we need to be a removing church, a wiping out church. When repentance, when it's evident, we Galatians 5:1, so Christ has set us free. You need to stay free, and that's why you need to be in a family, because we help each other to stay free. If you're on your own, I tell you, the longer you're on your own, the harder it is to stay free. Just the way you think and the way you talk. So the more you stay out of this community, the harder it is to stay free. And you know what? There's two ways. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, what Yohandre spoke about, use your freedom to serve one another in love. So we have legalism. Oh, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. Then you've got the other, I can do whatever I want to do. Yeah, do. I want you to think about, where do you fit into that? Are you like, oh, you can't drink wine? Because you're a Christian. Oh, Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. Oh, okay. I'm not saying anything, but just give me a clue. But then you've got the other guys. We can do whatever we do. We don't need to repent when we sin anymore. Once we save, we always save. No. You can lose your salvation in a place of licentiousness. Okay, so that's a repenting church. Third one, removing church. A refreshing church. And this is the part that I really enjoyed last time, and God came and he touched a lot of people here. Because all of us need a touch from the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. So it's a refreshing church. We need to drink. When I preach, I've got to drink. But the Holy Spirit brings the work of the Father into our lives. Man, I couldn't do what I am doing in my own strength or own ability. If you knew me before I got saved, you'd say, you are right, you can't. I got saved, and 1 week later, I got filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's the only way I've got to where I've got. You get some people, they like, hang on, what's this baptism of the Holy Spirit? They like resist it. And you know what? They struggle because it's difficult without the Holy Spirit to help you. You don't have to do this thing on your own. You can do it with the Holy Spirit helping you. Acts 2 and verse 33, it says, now he, Jesus, is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us. I've underlined that promised, because the Holy Spirit is a promise to you and me. It's a promise. God promised him and gave him to us. Acts 2:38. I remember this as the scripture before the guys got baptized this year, when a whole lot of guys, I think there was about 16 or 17 guys that got baptized in that funny little tub. Acts 2:38, Peter said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I cried the day that Vinay came up and told me how she had been trusting God for her family to get saved with her. And all four of them came on the same day. Man, just to see a family. It's like Acts 10, when Peter's preaching and just the Holy Spirit breaks out and people just get saved all over the place. So anyway, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And who's it for? All of us. All of us. Every single one. If you are feeling like, I'm not sure if I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then I'm telling you that you haven't. Because you will know when you are full of the power of God. It enables you to do what you cannot do in your own strength. And it's a gift. You don't pay for a gift. Isn't that amazing? You don't pay for a gift. If you pay for a gift, it's not a gift. It's like an inheritance. If you've got to pay for it, it's not an inheritance. It's something that's given to you. Yahweh, I'm giving it to you, the Father says. I'm giving you my precious Holy Spirit. My Son is now at my right hand, and now I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. I've had such precious times with the Holy Spirit over the years in ministry. I remember one day we had this house that had like a double story in the like middle of it. It was strange. But anyway, we were renting it. We didn't own it. And the Holy Spirit just came into the place and filled me up. And I was laying on the ground and I was laughing and I was shaking. And Patty came up the stairs. What's going on here? You know what? That's for all of us, not just me. That's for all of us. I've been in worship at times just with a CD, and the power of the Holy Spirit just comes. Guys, if you haven't had that, you need to trust God to have that. He changes the way you think. He changes the way you live and work and have your being. He changes everything. You come out of there and you think, what has happened to me? I want to tell you, it's the Holy Spirit that's come on you. Now he's in you. Somebody once said to me, is the Holy Spirit in you, or are you in the Holy Spirit? And I said, if you look at the sea and you take a glass bowl and you put it in the sea, you're in the Holy Spirit and he's in you. That's the way it is. A remaining church, we saw there. It's a church that remains in a place of prayer and praise. Folks, we need what we had here. We worship together. We need to do that on our own. You know what? When we come on a Sunday, it needs to be, wow, this is the overflow of what's happened all week. I know when I've been too busy and I haven't spent enough time in prayer and in worshiping God, I can feel it on a Sunday when I come here. That's the first place that I feel it. So we need to be found in the presence of God and in a place of prayer. As I said last time I was here, Acts 16 verse 25, we read about the first jailhouse rock. You know Elvis Presley, one for the money. You can see who's old and who's not. So anyway, they have this party, and the walls get blown out, the jailers get saved, and their families, That's what happens when we stay in a place of prayer and praise. When you're in that difficult place, begin to worship the Lord. Hey, Lord, you know what, guys? I've been through some really difficult times in my life physically. One of them being I had a triple bypass. It was really difficult. He has this big, powerful preacher, and he's having to have a triple bypass. What's this all about? No. You know what? God doesn't pull us out, but he takes us through. That's what I believe. He doesn't take you out of a situation. He takes us through. And that's why I believe as we head into end times, we won't get taken out. We'll be taken through what God is going to do. But in taking you through, he will protect you in that place. A little bit of the picture of Noah in the ark. God protected him and took him through. A restoring church is a prophetic church. Malachi 4 and 5, verses 5 to 6. Look, I'm sending you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. And his preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. You know what? One of my sons was involved in worship and he used to help in worship. And one day he came to me and he just said to me, "Hey, Dad, I'm not going to church anymore. Jesus has not revealed himself to me." This is like 13 years of helping with worship and leading worship and all sorts of stuff. Now, you know what? My first thing was, I will make you worship. But you know what? The Lord just stopped me. And I said to my boy, "That's a conviction of your heart. I can't believe about Jesus for you. That is up to you where you go from here now." And yeah, he's been all the way around. He got married. He's in the process of getting separated from his wife. And he phoned Patty and I and said, "Mom and Dad, can I come and stay in the house again?" When he left the house, he left under certain conditions. We said to him, "My boy, you're coming back under the same conditions." And he knows that Mom and Dad are going to be preaching to him nonstop, because he knows that's the way we are. We did it before he left, and we'll continue to do it while he's with us. And so I want you guys to be praying for him. His name is Joel, and we trust in God that the Lord will bring him back to a place of restoration. So a restoring church, a prophetic church, deals with things now that could hinder us in the future. So you've got a thing in your life that's causing problems. God wants to deal with it now so that down the road it's no longer a problem. The restoring church needs to have the ability to see, prepare for, and become the future. Okay, then the two that I haven't done. A raising up church. A raising up church. So this is a well, eh? It's a well of raising up. That's what we're doing. So in the military, I don't know, Mossy is probably there, who is old enough to have done Defense Force. You as well, Albert? You did Defense Force. Derek did. You're not old enough. In the Defense Force, well, they did this where I was. They trained you for one position higher than what you actually were. So, if something happened to your superior, you could step into his position. The other reason being is that you were then able to understand why that person did what he did, because you had been trained for that position. And so, we need to be raising up people all the time. In 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." I felt this year would be a year that I need to teach into the life of this church. And so I've really been doing that. I'm trying to raise up leaders. It's quite difficult because they're difficult people, but So, but when you raise them up, you need to give them opportunities to actually exercise their priesthood. So what are we training in? Last year, a whole lot of guys went through This Is Church, and the last bunch of them are actually getting prayed on to membership at the gathering on Saturday. So This Is Church, learning our values, biblical values. Please, I know this is part of the language, and we all use it, and I have to watch myself. We talk about Josh Gen values. No, talk about biblical values. They're biblical values. They're not just Josh Gen's values. We talk about attending church in a calm. Why do we do that? I was talking to the guys on Tuesday night, and it speaks about we have the mind of Christ. We can only have the mind of Christ when there's we, not I. It has to be we. So we get together and then we have the mind of Christ. Otherwise, we all got our own little pluck. We're all going in our own little direction. But when we get together and we speak about the Lord, we begin to catch something of who God is and what He's wanting to say to us. So you also, you know what? I want to say this, and no one must get uptight with me, but I really do believe that we all save to serve. Hey? You save to serve. I watch people, if they're serving in the church, they are on fire normally. But those oaks that they come every now and again, and so anyway, you know what, there's the worship group. You can't just come and go on the worship group, but you can come, you can start playing with them. They can get to know you. You can get to know them. There's AV, audio visual up there. Danae's nodding. She wants more people. Hey, come, she's saying, come, bring it on. There's youth. If you're young and you want to get involved, speak to your Andre. Speak to the other young guys here as well. They all know what's going on. Children's ministry. I think Michelle's got everyone involved there now anyway. The Granny's Rock. Okay, and then don't forget about the prophetic time. You know what? Everyone can serve. Everyone can serve. I remember Andrew talking about when he planted, and it was exactly the same when we started the church in Nelspruit. There were four of us. We had to do everything. So the guy said to me, so how's it going? How's the tea going? I said, the tea's perfect, man. And how's the chairs going? The chairs are perfect. He said, who have you got doing that? I said, I'm doing it. When you start a church, you make sure everything's perfect. Otherwise, people are not coming back. They come there and they go, oh no, I hope you're not saying that today. It's Donnie's fault anyway. But you know what, you're thinking who should lead? You know what, we should all lead at least one, yourself. You should all lead. If you're a husband, you should be leading your wife. If you're a mom and a dad, you should be leading your children. All of us should be leading in some sort of capacity. A releasing church. It's a church where training, supervision, instruction, with all the training and supervision and instruction, if it's not given, if they're not given an opportunity to release that, it's actually a waste of time. So you'll see on the night that we have the prophetic, more of it is about you prophesying than us teaching you tons of stuff. There's just a few things that we need to put in your hands, give you the right handles to make sure that you just operating in what God has got for you. And you know what? God has given us, if you're full of His Spirit, you have all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have the potential to work in any one of those. Jesus set the example by sending out the apostles in Luke 9 and Matthew 28. And every church should be seeing people released into different things all the time. Internally and externally. We should be saying, actually, the next time I go out to a different congregation, I want you guys, some of you guys, to come with. It's no good just the two of us going. 7th of April, we're going to Durbanville Central. Okay, it's in the morning, so you can go there and you can come here. Isn't that amazing, eh? We planned it just like that. We're going to minister into the guys' church that used to lead what was the beginning of this congregation. And it's going to be good. So we should be there. So these wells, we need to be nurturing them. We need to be developing them. Do you remember what I said about a well in the beginning? It's no good if we allow our well to become silted up. So somebody comes to you. Hey, can you pray for me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Y'all come drink out of my well. And they jump into your well. Oh, mouthful of sand. We need to keep that well deep. We need to keep it full of fresh water. We need to keep it uncontaminated. In those days, I told you guys, I don't know if you remember, the Philistines would come along, they would grab a dead animal and they would throw it down the well to contaminate that well so nobody could drink from it. So yeah, let's pray.